And welcome to the Half-Mark. I'm your host, Mitch Palm. It's my co-host, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing
better than Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I just got paid. Urban Meyer may not be getting paid anymore.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, by the time this podcast dropped, he may have been fired. That's what I've seen some rumblings, if you look around it. Like, they're kind of, Ohio State's kind of figuring out how to get out of it. So let's kick off and talk about that, Dan. So do you want to run through the story, just in case? Who's been under a rock?
All right, so the basic gist of what happened is that former Ohio State wide receiver, grandson of Earl Bruce, who was the head coach who followed Woody Hayes at Ohio State in the 80s, was also the first guy to give Urban Meyer a coaching job. For whatever reason, he was, and that whatever reason is definitely that nepotism. He got an Ohio State position coaching job as their wide receivers coach. And he apparently had multiple instances of spousal abuse. His wife, she went to the police, got multiple restraining orders. Nothing was ever done by Ohio State as all this happened. Urban Meyer gave a press conference, well, during his talks at the 10 media days, claimed he never knew that this coach had ever been, there'd ever been a restraining order against him. If he'd have known, he would have fired him. Well, the bombshell dropped today. He did know. Text messages back and forth between the woman who had been abused by her former husband, texting back and forth with Urban Meyer's wife and other coaches' wives, all of them talking about, we're going to tell Urban, you know, and it's just, it became extremely clear. And, you know, Shelly Meyer, Urban's wife, saying multiple times, like, you need to get out of this situation. You need to get a restraining order. Like, at no time was she ever going, hey, let's protect the brand. Don't go to the bank. She was like, no, you definitely need for whatever that's worth. So it's pretty impossible to believe that Urban Meyer did. And as of this recording, 2 hours ago, they placed him on administrative leave without pay while they sort through this. The big bombshell that dropped later, and all this has been coming from Brett McGee, who I just want to say is probably the greatest college football writer working today. Like, back in the day, they used to call him, because when he worked for CBS, he would always break every coaching hire, and then ESPN would refuse to credit him because they only wanted to credit their own their own guys. So it would always say, sources say, and those sources were always Brett McGee. And then it would be, Joe Shad confirms what sources say. And it's like, yeah, Joe Shad was 12 hours late for the story. And, you know, that Brett McMurphy got a long time ago. So it is great seeing him being able to break a story like this, because he obviously deserves this after he got laid off by ES and their last batch of layoffs. Mm-hmm. But that's basically where we are right now. Urban Meyer, I would say the second best coach in college football today. Would you put anybody other than Nick Saban ahead of him?
No, I will say, though, I feel like if Dabo wins, like, this year, I think Dabo's starting to nip at his, because I would put Dabo number three.
Yeah, I would say Dabo's working his way into the conversation. I would definitely say. But I would say if you made me say something right now,
it would be
Nick Saban and Urban.
The gap between, like, Urban and Dabo is much bigger than the gap between, like, Saban and, because Urban was, that Ohio State team over the past 2 years, you could argue he's in college football.
If they don't blow, like, that Ohio State team, you could make an argument if they got into play Alabama, they would have done both times, but they kept finding ways to, like, shit the bed before they got to them.
Yeah.
His teams have had a way of, like, just dropping it that they absolutely,
Alabama beat them. Who beat them too? Was that Clemson?
I think it was Clemson.
Yeah, because Alabama beat Washington.
And Clemson flattened them.
Clemson killed them. Another big part of, like, why we both think Urban Meyer is probably gone is you're in the middle of major scandals again. Ohio State's got one with a former wrestling trainer grabbing guys' dicks.
You got
horrible timing. If this happened a year ago or 2 years ago,
if this doesn't happen in the same conference where Joe Paterno happened, where Michigan State's happened at the same school where the wrestling scandals happened, I think he maybe skates on it. But, and maybe he still might, like, because he's on administration, doesn't mean that, you know, there won't be some levers pulled to keep the best coach Ohio State's had since Woody Hayes. Like, let's not forget that. We're talking about literally the best coach Ohio State's had.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who, like, it took Woody Hayes punching it.
Yeah. Well, I will say, just from social media and some stuff, but what I've seen from Ohio State fans has been, like, get the fucker out. It's not good for our program.
There's also that weird, like, strain of Ohio State fans who are never happy they hired him. Even though he's
won titles. Well, he ain't from Ohio, right?
He's from Ohio.
Oh, he is?
But it's like, they just associate him with Florida, first and foremost.
But yeah, I've noticed, we'll see what happens. But let's say he does get to kind of lead into our previews. Who from the, what are we calling these shitty conferences now? The Group of Five.
The Group of Five.
Who from the Group of Five, what team, what coach do you think has the best chance of coaching himself into the Ohio State job?
Well, if you ask me to name the Group of Five coach with the best shot, I'd probably say Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
But Charlie Strong still would be an incredible reach because he doesn't really have Ohio. You got the Cincinnati.
Well, unless they go with like the old Notre Dame thing, like you have a coaching scandal, it's like, we'll hire a black guy. Which feels like a very Midwestern thing. I don't know.
I know how to fix this. We'll find a respectable black man.
Well, diversity hire, baby. Do it. This the time we'll do it. Maybe Ohio State, is there like a trans coach or something?
Well, there's Luke Fickell, who's sitting down there at Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Obviously, longtime Ohio State assistant. He hasn't won anything at Cincinnati, so that would be the problem. But he is doing a hell of a job. And Tommy Tuberville completely destroyed that team before he got there. Tommy Tuberville probably caused, there will never be another old guy get a job again. Because, Tommy Tuberville got the job there, and everybody's like, wow, he used to be really good for Auburn.
Yeah.
And then he did such a terrible job that it's like, oh man, if a coach is old, go there.
Yeah.
But, that's where we're at. Like, obviously the Ohio State roster has a lot of talent. I don't think Ohio State would have a tough time finding interested in that job. It is always tough to follow somebody who's been successful. So they would run into that. Especially somebody who's leaving in this kind of strange, if he does get fired, this extremely strange circumstance where you could see this being like a, ooh, do I really want to step into this? That will probably be one of those things. To bring up Charlie Strong, this is something somebody said about him going to Texas. Like, he knew taking that job, there was a pretty good chance this was going to break bad. But then he was like, yeah, but it's Texas. Like, you can't turn down a chance to coach Texas. Like, even
a lot of money.
It's probably going to blow up in your face. It's still Texas. Yeah. I think Ohio State's going to be the same way. No matter how ugly this stuff might get, it's fucking it's fucking Ohio State.
So, kind of start with the American Conference, as you mentioned Cincinnati. I can't place, another big-name coach. Because, Memphis's coach just left, correct?
No, they re-signed him. They kept him. Memphis kept their coach.
Yeah, and Ohio State's so weird, but maybe they go outside the box. Because Urban Meyer was outside the box, so maybe they will go outside the box. Is that a guy you're looking at? Similar-ish area? So, Ohio, probably a lot of pipelines there?
I'm kind of worried about the fact that nobody really... It seemed like he kind of wanted to move on, and then once he, once he sort of tested the market...
Mike Norvell,
former assistant coach at Arizona State, has a wicked middle-aged man goatee. The most middle-aged freshly washed goatee you've ever seen. It sort of seemed like I can just know. Obviously friend of the show, DC correspondent, Cameron Kleiner. Memphis people are excited he's back, but most Memphis people were kind of like, yeah, he's probably gone. They weren't really expecting him. So that kind of that makes you wonder. Oh, is he a Dan Mullen? He walks into a meeting room and immediately farts and then goes, that's funny, right?
Well, what was the great job where maybe sit at Memphis another year and look pretty good and then get a better job? Because what giant head coaching job was there really? Was Florida this offseason?
Yeah, and Florida seemed like they were really zeroed in on Dan Mullen from the get-go.
Yeah, so maybe you just kind of sit, where you're comfortable. Don't Charlie Strong it almost. Don't fuck it up. Just kind of wait until you get a better job open.
There's definitely something to that, Justin Fuente was kind of the same way at Memphis before him. Yeah. They didn't coach together, but Justin Fuente didn't jump at the first head coaching job he got offered. He waited until he found a job that he was really, excited about.
Yeah.
So, that's probably something to that. But Mike Norvell, if he continues doing what he's been doing at Memphis, which is nothing short of amazing when you consider how, obviously he's not going to get as much credit as Fuente did, but when you see the ability to continue to keep this thing rolling at a place that's never had that kind of sustained success, You know, it's one thing to win a bunch of games like Fuente did with a quarterback who ends up playing in the NFL, but to keep that going is almost as impressive in my mind.
Yeah. We'll talk the American Conference. Let's start with the defending national champion, University of Central Florida.
I mean, obviously, if I was to maybe keep somebody from that staff, but, you know, they all went with, basically, the whole staff went to Nebraska.
Yeah.
They ended up with Josh Heupel, who, those of you who are older might remember him as the quarterback of Oklahoma when they won the national championship in, was it 99,
2000? 99, 2000. And then also, like, I think he backed up for the Dolphins.
His NFL career was not special.
2 years in the NFL.
But he had no arm. That's something. His arm was non-existent. He was the classic pop gun arm air raid. Yeah, we're throwing it short because literally that's all we can. He was the offense coordinator at Missouri last year, and their offense fucking great. I mean, there's no way around it. They played at an insane tempo. It's going to be a huge change because, I mean, you think about, you know, oh, Scott Frost, he's a tempo guy. You know, he coached for Chip Kelly. You know, he was probably a big tempo. No, he was not. They did not run much tempo at all at UDF. Now, what they would do is they would line up quickly and get to the line after a big play and try to keep the pressure on you. But they averaged only about 65 to 70 plays a game. Pretty much middle of the pack as far as tempo. They were not like a fast tempo all the time, slow, you know, let's turn this thing into a track meet type team. That's just not what they were. They were more of like a running team. They ran as many plays as the old Nebraska Tom Osborne. They were Tom Osborne out of the shotgun, more passing.
Yeah.
If he sticks with that tempo that they had at Missouri, I mean, they're going to be a different team. They probably will not have the same kind of quality. I don't think you can play that kind of tempo and have anything resembling. You know, obviously we're way beyond the idea of spread team. That's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
But I do think playing that kind of absolute extreme tempo where you never stop going as fast as I don't think you can play decent.
No, well, especially if you're not going to have like a ton of depth and like D-line and other positions where you can rotate in and out guys.
But when you see,
you just went three and out in 20 seconds.
But when you see schools that do have the ability to recruit that kind of depth, like look at what Auburn was, like look at what Gus Malzahn was before he got to Auburn and got a chance to like recruit higher level players. He doesn't go nearly as fast as he did at Tulsa. Because when you have a chance to recruit defense, you're like, well, let's give him a chance to get ready to play, right? Like, it's just natural that once you have that you recruit better players in your opposition, it's less like let's set a land speed record.
I want to move on really quick though to stay in Florida. I want to talk about South Florida.
This is their year, by the way. This is their
group of five. That's what I'm saying too. If any of these teams is to go undefeated, lose one game, South Florida.
Yeah, this is their year to be like the group of five team, and I think they will be. I just don't see anybody in the American Conference this year who matches up with
them. No.
I mean, last year obviously was Central Florida's year. They were a better team, but hey, South Florida still played them pretty close. Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah, one of the best games of the, I remember, and, you know, right? So Thanksgiving, right? Like Black Friday, I think.
The one issue I have with South Florida is they were very messy, and if they can't get that under control this year, that could derail this, especially as. You know, you're starting to move, you know, this will be your second year away from Willie Taggart's offense. You start getting further away from the guys who built that offense to be what it is. There's a chance this all falls apart, right? Offensively. It's like, you assume that Charlie Strong's getting, but, you know, if the offense falls apart, you might end up back where he was in Texas. You're not in a very happy play.
Yeah. I think South Florida, though, you look at, this is probably the team that everyone will make the argument. If they go undefeated and we don't have the best teams at the top. Anyone else in the American? We hinted at Cincinnati. Do you want to talk about them at all earlier?
Well, I think Cincinnati's a year away.
Uh-huh.
I think they're a year away. Because what Cincinnati is reminding me of is Willie Taggart at USF. Because he didn't get there immediately. People think of Willie Taggart because now he's ascended and he's like the head coach at Florida State. You know, he had the Oregon job last year. Before that, you know, Quentin Flowers' team, like, just broke every offensive record there was in football. And everybody thinks of him as, like, this big success story. And they forget that, like, when he first got to South Florida, they were ass for, like, it was not like this. They were garbage. But slowly built their, like, he out-recruited his conference to such a degree that by the time once you hit a certain point, it was like there was no way he wasn't good because his off, like his teams had such better talent on the field than his opponents that he could pretty much probably pick whatever offense he wanted to put. And they were going to just destroy everybody. Cause
yeah,
there was no way around it. When that much more talented. That's what Cincinnati is starting to do. Like, they're not going to have it this, obviously they're all going to be freshmen and they're probably not even going to have it next year, but you know, they might have it next, but in 3 years, definitely they're going to destroy people because you just look at the recruiting classes he's bringing in already. And you're like, man, in 2 to 3 years, those guys are going to wax him. So I think he's a little bit away, but you know, he's going to have some really talented freshmen. When you have talented freshmen, it's almost like, what's that old thing about a glass can? It'll blow up and it might kill everybody around it, including the guy firing it. Somebody going to die. You know, that's definitely something that could happen with Cincinnati.
Yeah. And then, like, I think Navy will be there.
I'll never count out Navy. Because, I mean, yeah, basically they just reload every year with a new batch of 5'11" guys who cut block.
And, yeah, you know, very disciplined ball. Well, let's
you
move
said
on.
That in a very that sounded.
Let's move on to the Sun Belt. This conference got a little bit slimmer, a little bit trimmer this year. I think maybe better. You lose Idaho, you lose New Mexico State. I don't know why you're in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, they were football only members, so they weren't sending the volleyball team to go play Idaho.
And this is one I look at and I just think, probably App State again. They're in the conference championship game every year since they joined, I think. Except I think the year Southern went. That's probably would be my fate. Going in a little blind about App State football. I don't know if they've lost a lot of people or what, but it's a pretty. It's probably one of the more consistent.
This is App's big year where they could maybe. I mean, being in the Sun Belt kind of handicaps you get that New Year's Day bowl game because yeah, you're not going to have the kind of schedule strength that like a you know whoever wins the American's going to have.
Good.
But they could go into.
Yeah,
I think this is the year Satterfield. You know, it's a big jump to go from the Sun Belt to a Power Five team. So I don't know if he'll get that far, but he's definitely going to be moving up in the.
Yeah, maybe jumps up and takes up Cincinnati or South Florida.
Well, if South Florida opens up, yeah, I could also see him at a lower level Power Five. If Dave Clawson gets hired away from Wake Forest and the Wake Forest job opens, there's always been a thing in Wake Forest where they're always because there's so many Appalachian State grads in the city of Winston-Salem. Anything going on at App to like get eyeballs over at Wake Forest, so I wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me to see him at a, you know, I mean, if the UNC job opened up, you know, that would shock me.
Is there anyone else who kind of piques your interest in the Sun Belt? Kind of looking over it.
I'm very interested to see if Georgia Southern can recover from being in the dump of a hole that they've driven into.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, well,
very exciting discussion going on.
Southern really fell off. I mean, I think their first year they're in the Sun Belt Championship game or something.
They
like
couldn't
that.
Hold on to their coaches. This is the issue with Georgia Southern. They think that the things they had to do, they had no money, are great traditions they should preserve forever.
Like the school bus,
like not spending any on coaches. Like they think all that shit is charming. So, like Georgia Southern doesn't need to do more than that. If Georgia Southern does something different, then it's going to be the end of Georgia Southern. Instead of, okay, you made the decision to join big boy football. All this stuff you did, that been traditions at Georgia Southern, that was great when you won AA. You ain't a 1AA team no more.
Well, Dan, it's kind of like
if you want to play at this level, you've got to make investment, or you're going to look up one day and Georgia State's going to be waving at you from bye-bye.
Dan, it's kind of like keep it in Georgia. Like, imagine if Chick-fil-A didn't kind of slowly kind of shed their podunk image, all shucks kind of bullshit, and, like, became a little more corporate and clean as they went national. That kind of feels like Southern. Like, Chick-fil-A never kind of got smart about what they were doing. They would kind of be in the position Southern.
I can see that analogy.
Because, well, think about, like, a Chick-fil-A 10 years ago and how different it looks compared to now. It's a very clean, different-looking place, I feel like.
During Pride Month, somebody put a rainbow-colored, what is those things that they have in Hawaii? They put around people's necks, a lei.
Lei.
There was a rainbow lei around the, what do you call when you, like, cut an animal, like, you cut a shape out of a bush, a shrubbery?
Art.
Sure. Well, it's like a shrubbery cow, and it had a rainbow lei on its neck, and it was at a Chick-fil-A, and I went, "What the fuck am I looking at?" But it was like, I guess that's Chick-fil-A now.
To New York and California, Dan, and as we've learned, money is way more important than morals. Well, for what these people consider their morals. Do we like anything about, like, say, Arkansas State or Troy entering? Troy had a pretty good year last year. Those like that program's a little bit more on the upswing.
Troy's definitely on the upswing. They've got a coach that a lot of people are looking at, but he's very young, and I think there's bigger programs are wanting to see if he can sustain it without, you know, because I think he's only like 36 or 37. You know, I think there's a bit of like, let's wait and see on him. So I think he may be around for a little bit. I think Troy's big year is going to be next year because I think Satterfield's going to leave app. And when he does, I think that opens up things.
Yeah.
The other program to look at is definitely, UTSA because last year was supposed to be a breakthrough year for them. And then
UTSA?
Yeah.
You mean that?
Oh, did they move to Conference USA?
They are Conference USA, Mark.
I forget.
Since 2013.
Damn it. I was thinking I'm thinking of Texas Arlington. My bad.
Well, it was a good segue, though, because we can discuss some Conference USA action. And I look at these teams. FAU's the favorite, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will be surprised if anybody in that league does.
Yeah, I mean, FAU, another team, probably. I mean, we're going to say a lot of these group of five teams are going to go undefeated, and there's a chance three of them do, in my opinion. And FAU is definitely one to circle. Not going to get any attention for playoffs or anything big, but I think they're going to dominate. Because look at the talent they're getting. I mean
he's just bringing in a crazy amount of talent. I am in to see if UNC Charlotte can avoid getting their coach. Because he's starting the year on the hot seat. He's their first coach they've ever had. He's been the head coach of the program since they, you know, restarted their football program. He has not done that great a job.
Like lawyer guy coach?
No, that's Coastal Carolina. That's my boy. Okay. You know, that's Joe Mobley, a former CEO of TD Ameritrade, still the chairman of TD Ameritrade, who decided, man, I'm so sick of being in charge of a corporation. I want to go back to my first love, which is the most human thing I've ever heard a billionaire businessman do.
Yes.
Just be like, man, fuck this. I want to go coach football again. Like, I did when I was out of college.
Can you imagine, like, Elon Musk trying to coach, like, an SEC and just, like, the dumpster fire that would be?
He just starts, like, trying to line them up in these formations, and everybody keeps telling him that that's not legal. I'm disrupting football.
Like offensive linemen just start catching on fire randomly for no reason. that team would have the mowing fan base.
Like you just don't understand. It's part of the disruption scheme to voluntarily nuke our team. We all eat radiation before the game. Rings. God, Vanderbilt absolutely hire Elon Musk.
What other CEO? Like Jeff Bezos, I don't know much about him. Imagine if Steve Jobs, what team would he kill? By making them eat nothing but...
He tries to treat, like, a concussion with flowers. Like, he tries to... The thing about Steve Jobs' health ideas is that they all would have made a lot of sense in middle age to, like, combat the plague. It's like, oh, man, you're feeling sick. You've got buboes forming under your arms. Here, smell some fresh flowers. That'll make the D's go away.
Yeah.
Good job.
Looking over everything else, can we also
obviously
talk
the
about
other team? The other team in Conference USA to watch is your University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Who I was about Blazers. To bring up? My boys, the Blazers. Football's back. How did they even do that? I gotta look that.
They went to a bowl.
That's right. So first year back. Do you think that was like a fleety thing? Like players are excited to be playing again, or like?
I think there was definitely some emotional flukiness to it. But it still don't change the fact that it's fucking...
But, like, UAB's always been a pretty consistent group of five kind of program, though.
No,
like,
it hasn't. Absolutely hasn't. It's usually been the worst program in college football.
Were they? I thought they had some decent...
No. They have occasionally pull in, like, a decent player, one at a time, but they're almost always...
Did they have a quarterback to tie?
I think they had one, but they didn't win anything with him. Like, you're... UAB is like the most 3-9 type team. But it's almost like the University of Alabama created a football program that literally did not exist by trying to kill them for no reason.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes it so much more ridiculous. Alabama wanted to stomp this program out of existence. It's like, Jesus Christ, they are literally no threat to anybody. Like it's like a UFC fighter showing up at like a toddler's daycare and like kicking the shit out of one of the kids. It's like, what? This kid is not a threat to you. Like, what are you talking about?
UAB all time, 125 and 125. Solid ass.
That's really low under 500.
Yeah. that's 1991. Not solid. That's when one year off since the early 90s. But maybe things are continue doing well for UAB. Like I said, I think FAU is done.
I mean, the other big thing for them is, how are they going to play when they get to the stadium? Because, I mean, it's planned, but, you know, how that's the state of Alabama.
Is there anyone else of interest?
Florida International. I mean, Butch Davis, last year, they were pretty good. They got, they were pretty, I mean, it was a pretty amazing turnaround for Florida International, because they were one of those programs in college football as well, and then they had a winning. They completely got overshadowed by Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin's doing there, but you know, Butch Davis is still a pretty good coach. I mean, this is probably all going to end in NCAA violation. He's pretty good at what he does.
But worth the, well, isn't that very Miami, though, just to have a lot of fun for a short period of time and just watch it all crumble?
Absolutely. That's yeah. Miami. I mean, Miami is an entire city built out of matchsticks.
Yeah.
Don't poke it. It'll all fall over. Like,
what about the Southern Miss, the team that looked promising for a little bit, I think, earlier this decade and just fell the fuck off? I feel like they had a decent amount of success last year. I have to look that up, though.
There's an alternative universe where Southern Miss is like a consistent, is in the American Conference right now and is you know, I mean, they were the original Boise State. Like, back in the 90s, they were the team that would go play anybody, anywhere. They would play SEC team. I feel like there was a run there where they'd be any time one of the SEC Mississippi schools was gutsy enough to play Southern Miss, they always lost.
Yeah, Southern Miss won 8 games left.
So, but, you know, they were pretty good under Larry Fedora. His last year, they went 12-1. They made it to a big bowl. He left to take the Carolina job. And then this school cratered for reasons that don't exactly make sense to me, other than, like, it can't just be they made a bad hire. Like, yeah, they hired Ellis Johnson, didn't work out, but that can't, making a one bad hire should not turn school into 0-12.
Yeah,
but that's what happened at Southern Miss, and they're slowly trying to claw their way out of that ever since, and they seem to have finally worked their way back being a respectable mid-major program. The problem is they picked the worst possible time to be shitty, because realignment happened around them, and they're stuck in Conference USA. Nobody gives a shit.
Coach, there's James Hobson, who I think we all remember.
We all remember him as the one white guy of black college,
a hero.
So he was like, he lived every person's dream of being the one cool one.
He been pretty consistent in Southern Miss though. 7 wins first year, 8 wins last year as a second year. They could probably get up to 9. I don't think Conference USA is a close at all.
It isn't. It's a terrible league, and it almost is hamstringing some of the teams in there. They're stuck in this league that's not very good, doesn't have much of an identity, geographically doesn't make any sense, because the Sun Belt cover the same.
It's just the Bible Belt.
It's literally just the Sun Belt was in bigger city. Like, that's the only real difference. You know, it does, like, geographically, it's ridiculous. Like, I think the head of the Conference USA said this will not last. This league cannot last. It doesn't make sense, which that's a pretty damning thing to say about your league, that, oh, yeah, this league doesn't have surviving as it's currently constituted. It's like, well, that's something you really walk back.
Well, Dan, speaking of leagues that are still surviving, man, let's go out west.
We did miss one boys. Team that we did to, well, we'll come to them at the end.
The Mountain West Conference. Once the bell of the ball in NCAA world, kind of fallen off, but you know what? There's a lot of teams I personally enjoy to watch here in the Mountain West. I mean, Air Force, usually pretty fun.
You know when people complain about football getting too fancy dance and too offense and spread football, and this ain't about football I grew up on, blah, 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 blah. If you have anybody in your life who says stuff like that, tell them to go watch Mountain West football, because Mountain West football is the world where the quarterback was forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, this is where you go to watch teams run the damn. When I look through the team in this league, there's only like 3 teams in this league that I go, yeah, they can throw the ball pretty good. It's like Boise, Fresno State now with
quarterback
head coach. Well, as long as that quarterback's named Carr, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure the Carr boys are having, and eventually they're giving enough River children to probably start everywhere.
No good.
And you know, Nevada Reno, University of Nevada, they're running the air raid. So
yeah. Well, and what about our boys? They're the same, but like, you still think of them as a passing Hawaii.
Oh yeah, they've gone back to running the run and shoot. I forgot about that. But you know, the rest of the two. I mean, San Diego State's literally like watching it in the 1970s. It's nothing but I formation. Like if they really want to get and throw the football, they might go to the shotgun on third down, but only on third down. You know, it's 2 tight ends. It's I form. It is just, hey, we just run the football. And they have, every year they have a running back who goes for like 2,000 yards. And around the end of the year, somebody goes, man, this guy might be a Heisman candidate, ain't he? And then everybody goes, eh, not really. Hey, still pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know.
So Who from this conference do you think is going
to be? San Diego State's nasty. I would never want to. They're mean, yeah. They're physical, and they've really taken advantage of the fact that so many teams in the Pac-12 have gone to spread offenses, including USC. Because when you look at why so many teams in the Pac-12 went to spread, it was because all the players you would to run a traditional downhill running pro style offense, USC got all those. If you were Washington, you were never going to get the number one badass tight end. You were never going to get the 320-pound guard. You were never going to get those guys. So you might as well go to a spread offense where you don't need them. Well, now USC runs like an NFL style spread offense. They're in the shotgun 70% of the time, and they run a bunch of RPOs. They basically look like Philadelphia, not as well covered.
Yeah.
So that's opened things up for State, who basically is running like a 1995 USC offense. And there's a lot of high school in the state of California, particularly in Southern California, that have been running like I formation, downhill power offense for 60 years because that's what USC always ran, and you wanted to have the same offense school that everybody wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And I think San Diego State is taking advantage of that, and they've got a very talented and a real identity. They're tough to play. Obviously, Air Force is always going to be in the running because they run the triple, you know, they don't run the same kind of triple option as Paul Johnson. In fact, there's a major rivalry between Paul Johnson's and Air Force's people because Paul Johnson's always felt like Air Force stole his formation and didn't give him credit.
Yeah.
And Air Force's current coaching staff, they will line up in the flex bone, but that's not their only offense. They're a multiple formation, no huddle, triple option.
Yeah.
So they'll come at you from the I formation, the shotgun, the flex bone, the wishbone. You know, they'll come at you from a bunch of different looks, and they would go at no huddle. So if you love Paul Johnson football, try defending that from different formations while a team doesn't huddle and tries to run as many plays as possible. Your knees are done, basically.
I think another team to look out though for too, repeating champion Boise State. Boise State's back, baby.
Yeah, they're always to watch out.
I think Wyoming's gonna fall.
I think they'll be
maybe
better.
Well,
I think they'll be better.
Better without John.
Like their defense last year was maybe the best in the five. Not having a quarterback who turns the ball over that much can only.
And then,
this is Wyoming's year. They don't have shitty Josh Allen ruining their.
You also have Fresno State.
Well, you know.
End of the year, ranked 25.
I mean, that was one of the biggest one-year turnarounds I can remember. Because, like, you remember what people were saying last year when they hired, Fresno State made their coaching hire? Like, everybody's like, oh, my God, I cannot believe you hired this old-ass fucking guy. He had great years at Cal. Jeff Tedford is who we're talking about. He did a tremendous job at Cal for a time. He's probably the most successful coach Cal's had in the last few years. But by the end, it was clear that this had passed him by. And it was, you know, this wasn't working. And it really looked like he did not belong coaching at this level. And then what happened? Like, turned it all around. I mean, he showed up at Fresno State. Everybody thought this is not going to work. He's going to be a Tommy Tuberville. He's going to show up and collect a paycheck and a shitty job. And the exact opposite happened.
Yeah.
He fucking kicked ass and took names. And it's like, Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe this old guy still knows what he's doing.
That's probably another one to circle him. Also a former CFL head coach, BC Lions, for a year.
I think Jeff Tedford, after he got fired from Cal, made some contacts.
He, that's where he played his entire playing career.
You know, that's the way you do it.
Yeah. Let's see. Hamilton, Calgary, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Bombers.
Did you say the Winnipeg Blue Balls? Is that something you just said?
Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Winnipeg Blue Balls.
That's lewd, and I won't have it.
Well, Dan, let's circle back. Let's go to the middle of the country. Let's talk some action. The MAC. I think we did this last year. Does it still just kind of feel like the MAC's kind of dead now a little bit? Like, kind of falling off?
I think part of the issue with the MAC, I mean, you know, for a time, I guess, PJ Fleck sort of disrupted it by recruiting such a higher level than anybody else in the MAC ever does.
Yeah.
And it led to them just sort of breaking the league for a time. But then he left to go do a better job, and the MAC has now settled right back in to the level it always is. And it's just the teams in this league. I mean, MAC football is good for what it is. And I'm a proponent of MAC football because you've got an entire league full of teams that are basically at the same level. Like, there's no team in that league that has a better budget or a better facility than anybody else. And it just comes down to who's made the best hire at this current moment.
Yeah.
And you can get kind of see what a better than average coach can do, because there's not like, oh man, this guy over here at Toledo's got a better program than this guy over here at Bowling Green. It's all the same damn shit. Like everybody has nothing. So you just get to see who, you know, it basically comes down to who's made a good coaching hire and who the one good quarterback. You know, that pretty much decides who the champion of the MAC is. If I had to pick anybody, you know, my heart's always going to be in Akron.
Yeah.
For old Terry Bowden. I am interested to see how Buffalo does. They made a very unique hire a few years ago when they hired Lance Leopold. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Uh-huh.
One of the most successful coaches in the history of D3. He was the coach, I think it was, what's the two schools that are in the D3 championship every single year? It's like Mount Union and UW-Whitewater.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh edition, or Pittsburgh, Kansas edition, or something like that.
It's Wisconsin-Whitewater and Mount Union, who are always in the
D3.
And he was the head coach at Wisconsin-Whitewater. And he reached 100 victories faster than any coach in the history of the NCAA. Mm. So they basically, like, Buffalo looked out on the and said, who is a coach who's had a tremendous amount of success who has never had to recruit players to be successful? So they basically just looked around and said, all right, who can we get to coach this who we know is not relying on recruiting because you cannot recruit here?
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to recruit, it will not work at our job. Nobody wants to go to the State University of Buffalo, which is what they insist on us calling their It's not University of Buffalo, it's State University of Buffalo. Who can you get to win here? There's not a lot of people. Let's hire this guy who's been winning three schools, which to me, that's a hell of a lot better idea than what Buffalo does most of the time, which is,
well, no, I think, you know, if you talk about the creative thinking, Dan, and like, you know, their AD, Alan Green, went from Buffalo to Auburn. That's a pretty big leap for an AD.
He got hired up the chain because he hired a coach who was able to win.
Yeah.
Which is what made people go, well, he must be a genius.
But he's also a guy that people gush about. I think Buffalo athletics in general pretty well under his tenure for, like, what they are. But, I mean, this is a guy like Paul Feinbaum, I think, to fuck him with, like.
Paul Feinbaum will do that with a lot of people,
though. Yeah. So... you know, I wonder if that law, I don't think, like, ADs necessarily matter that much. Like,
I think ADs matter more than the coaches a lot of times.
Well, no, I think sometimes, like you're not going to see an impact on the football team as the AD left last year.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get you. Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to hurt Buffalo, but that's one to circle. But I still think Western Michigan, I mean, they still have the recruits there.
Some. I mean, we're starting to run out. We're now at the point where you may not have many.
I guess they won the MAC last year, so it's not like they just fell off right away.
Right. I mean, they definitely got that. Usually you get 1 year from the guy who, I don't know if you get. Lance Leopold at Buffalo, he hasn't done it yet, but he took over Buffalo's probably the worst program in the country. Like, when you just look at the level of success Buffalo has had since Division 1A football, it probably has fewer wins than any other team over that span. So, you know, you can only really go up. And he has slowly built that team to start looking more like a team that can win some ball games. And, you know, I hope he can pull it off.
There you go. Did we miss a conference?
Well, we didn't miss a conference, but we did miss, and I did forget about them because I think they're a dark horse team to go up and win the Group of Five. The Group of Five title, if you will, and be in a major bowl game. And that is my boys in Tulane under Willie Fritz. Speaking of why Georgia Southern, from being one of these success stories at the 1A level to what they are now, where they're kind of struggling to figure out who they are. They came into FBS football with Willie Fritz as their head coach, and they let him walk to Tulane. Uh-huh. And, like, Tulane is not a school that should have been able to pull away Georgia Southern's coach based on ability. Because Tulane has had exactly, like, two winning seasons in my lifetime. Three. They've had three winning seasons in my lifetime. The Rich Rodriguez year, the Mac Brown year that got him hired at Carolina, and then the 1 year with Patrick Ramsey, I think. So, like,
what Tulane, was Sean King year? Or boy.
Sean King was the Rich Rodriguez.
Okay.
So it's like, this is not a very successful program historically. And yet, they were able to pull away Willie Fritz, which is literally more money. That's it. That's all it was money.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, Georgia Southern probably shouldn't have let a coach walk just over money.
The State, right?
Georgia Southern. The Eagles.
That's right.
Yeah. Because he was the head coach of the Eagles when they moved up and had that, and you know, they played well at the beginning. And he's a guy who's come up with like an innovative triple option offense out of the shotgun. And so they don't just do like the man blocking and the cut blocking like Paul Johnson does. Yeah. They use a lot of like normal zone blocking. It's a little bit easy. He's had a little bit better time teaching it to players without having the big learning curve that sometimes that Paul Johnson has, where you see with Paul Johnson, sometimes it takes him like 2 years to get a quarterback to figure out all the options.
Yeah.
Whereas with Tulane, a lot of times they're able, like if the quarterback just doesn't get it, they just zone block the fuck out and just try to win that way. Tulane, I mean, to me, I enjoy watching Tulane play. They're very run heavy. They're out of the shotgun and they hit you with some explosive downfield play action passes. They're very, and, he's been building this team to getting them to where they need to be. This could be the year they explode. This could be the year of Tulane.
Okay, before we kind of wrap,
what is the proper way to pronounce it? Because you're in Tulane. The deep south.
Tulane. I'm not that deep.
Is it Tulane or is it Tulane?
Tulane. They talk. They're weird. Yeah. I don't know. That's Louisiana.
Well, the thing about Tulane is that all the kids who go there are not from the south.
Yeah.
Like they're all like kids from.
You probably say like Tulane.
Tulane. What's a fucking Boston way of saying it? I can't do a Boston accent.
Well, that I don't want to say the end of it. Don't need that happening. So before we kind of wrap this up, it's previews of the group of five. Are we going to talk about any of the independents? Like our boys at BYU or Notre Dame? Or
BYU is at a cross. Well, Notre Dame is not one of the small schools. Thank you very much. We'll cover
that. Well, we'll say Notre Dame for the ACC.
They're part of the ACC now in a very strange, using way.
Well, they're poly. The ACC is the only poly... Or has like an open marriage. There's a conference that lets one other team just fuck whoever.
It's there's a lot of like low self-esteem in the ACC.
And then like the Notre Dame was like the old rich guy who like used to be handsome, but he's not quite. But he's still good looking for an older guy. I mean, he lost some hair, he gained some weight. But the ACC is just like, man, this guy, I'll let him do it.
Yeah, I mean that tracks. That's pretty with the ACC. It's basically just a cuck league. There's no way around it.
Which is a shame because their homegrown team of Clemson is one of the best programs in the.
But everybody always forgets that they're in the ACC.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the
they're thing. Clemson. Because Clemson should be in the SEC.
They're spiritually an SEC, yeah, and there's no way around that.
They're like the who is that lady who's pretending to be
Rachel Dolezal?
Clemson's the Rachel Dolezal. The college football world. Like, if you glanced at him, like, oh, yeah, that's... And then you look at it, it's like, oh, wait, that person's really tan. Put oil in there, so I don't even know what did to make that work.
I will say this. When that story happened, what did every black person say about it? Like, their first instinct.
I don't know any black.
It was always like, man, she did get the hair right. Like, there's, like, you can say what you want. Jesus, her hair was on point.
Did you see her calendar she last year thing?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like a picture of Rachel Dolezal. I want to say in provocative, but maybe not. And like an inspirational quote. I'm a big, I'd love to have her on the show. To maybe break down, like Slack or
something. Sure. I mean, who better? Who better? Who's more qualified?
Exactly. But yeah, BYU, another pretty bad year here for our boys.
This is do or die for them. Like they have to.
Well, they're
like
leaving, not, because they had a chance to join a Power 5, right? And they didn't?
No, they haven't been able to get it. The thing that's blocked them, and this is a thing that you can't get people to talk about for some reason, because I guess people in sports media are scared of these kind of issues, but they can't get into a better conference because of their treatment, like their LGBT policies at their campus.
Ah, yeah.
And it's just, it has been this big wall blocking them at every turn. Their dream is to get into the Big 12 because they pretty much wrote off the idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, even they know Pac-12 teams are not going to sign off on a, you know, a team with those kind of LGBT policies getting admitted into the league.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of other, like, weird policies, you know, like what you can't, like, it's not as bad as, like, at Liberty, but, like, you're not supposed to with your girlfriend or
your girl's uniform. Oh, yeah. It's a hardcore Christian conservative college.
Maybe there needs to be, like, a Christian, like a right-wing conference, and, like Liberty, and you put, I'm sure there's some really care to know. Just kind of put them all there and let them play each other and, like, and play for, like, Jesus Bowl.
I mean, it's an option.
The Liberty, Jerry Falwell Cup.
They'll try. I mean, Liberty will try. That's all we know about them.
I would love for there to be, like, football league, like, only one team in the South, and they're all, like, just weird Western. Like,
that's the thing. Most of the religious colleges are actually out in the West, and they're all, like Catholic colleges.
What's the not Niagara Falls, Grand Valley, the Grand Canyon?
Grand Canyon University. Yeah. They advertise on YouTube all the time.
Yeah,
PragerU, which is not a real thing.
I like what's the one that's like Columbia College. I'd love to get a degree from there and like just trick people proper.
You know that it's a reputable university when they just like try to pretend be a college.
Yeah, like
that's
Harvard
reputable.
Community College.
We're Yale God College. Yale Bible. We're just like, well, isn't that the thing that those paranormal people did? Like they called themselves the Stanford Institute?
Yes.
To make people think that they're a part of like Stanford University when they're just a bunch of fucking nutters.
Well, I've always believed that's what Stanford was, the original. But I think they may have been around before.
Well, I mean, anybody's better than Stanford, like morally.
So yeah, that's kind of it. Looking forward though to watching some Hawaii films. That's always my
sure.
Even though they're not even on like proper TV, it's like really hard to watch. If you told me that like 20 years ago, I'd be shocked because like every game is on ESPN. But now the Pac-12 is like 3 in the morning. So
yeah.
Before we get out of here, Dan, though, I want to talk about NFL Football Hall of Fame weekend. Who are you most excited to see go in, and why was Zach Thomas ripped off?
Well, I mean, the team I'm most excited is obviously Terrell Owens.
Is he going to do the speech or not?
You're telling me that Terrell Owens is going to fucking not show up?
Well, the rumor was he's going to boycott it, right? That was the thing?
What, are they not going to let him do something stupid and extremely funny?
Yeah. I'm excited for that and to hear Randy Moss's thick country boy accent. It's usually one of my favorites.
He is insanely country and does not, and not enough people talk about it.
Hi, man. Like that one friend, that even though like we're all rednecks, that we would make fun of for being a like, cheap redneck. That's going down the pond, man. It's like, how are you? You're dipping.
Like, you're 12. Yeah.
Like you're 12 and you have like three kids.
We had a guy who we used to make fun of for being super country because his nickname was Shotgun and he was 9. And it's like, I don't give a shit what you. A 9-year-old shouldn't be shotgun. Because, I mean, he shouldn't be shotgunning beers at that age, and he shouldn't be handling firearms at 9. But somehow this guy, he was Shotgun Shane. You know, that's just who he was.
But yeah, so I think that football portion. Dan, I'll talk about a few things before we get out of here. This kind of fly-by-number show. First off, Alf's coming back. How hyped are the Alf? And will Alf be caught maybe having she did something racist in the past?
They're gonna get Roseanne to voice Alf.
Yes,
no, that's the
and
only.
I don't know the characters. Like Alf was the show, like I always wanted to watch as a little kid, but like always missed or like it was over. I can't remember. Was Alf like the '80s or something? Right?
Alf was definitely the '80s.
Okay, I never got to see that, and you can't even find it now.
You know why? It was fucking terrible.
That makes it great.
I have forgotten. You will not watch a sitcom. It's the most fucking abysmal thing ever invented.
Yeah. Well, what about, you could put that on, like, Cozy, my new favorite channel.
That's a made-up thing you invented. It's not real.
It shows old sitcoms. And they were showing the Munsters.
That's television.
That show has not aged well.
What are you talking about?
Not in the sense that it's racist or homophobic, it's just not very good.
People used to, when I was a kid, I used to get mad because people would say that the Munster's a shitty rip-off of the Addams Family. And I enjoyed the Munster more because I liked the dad.
I don't like his voice, though. He sounded a little dumb. He sounds too intelligent, but he's an idiot. I don't get it. That's like a 50s thing I'll never understand. Why is
that 60s, brother. Don't you be fucking up the decade.
Black and white. If it's black and white, it's all 50s.
Here's the rule of thumb. If something looks to you like it feels like it's in the 50s, it's actually in the
60s.
And that's true facts. That's true facts stated.
Another little item here, Dan. Have you got a chance to see Mission Impossible, the film that bankrupted movie?
Wow, it did.
I mean, I think MoviePass is dead. Couldn't even log on the other day, apparently.
Such a shame.
Which is a shame, because MoviePass was the greatest, like, socialist act, because it just redistributed wealth back to people.
It just set wealth to fucking anybody who figured out that they should probably give money to, hey, this thing sounds like a horrible deal for capitalists. Let's buy it.
But for me, it was like, it's one of the few things, like, works well for the consumer. I will say that's, like, been the only cool thing about, like, Silicon Valley. Like, so many of these companies aren't well run. You can get really good deals. Like, an Uber is still cheaper than a taxi, you know?
Well, it's like Groupon a few years ago, where it's like,
yeah,
you're literally going out of business trying to, like, make good deals for people because... And they're all evil, because the whole idea behind MoviePass is make the studios dependent on us, and then we can jack up our prices and, like, really rape our customers.
Yeah,
the problem was they weren't actually able to, like, muscle out the, you know, they weren't actually able to do. So they ended up just running themselves out of business, giving away like extremely cheap tickets to slackers.
Some people, if you went to Costco or Sam's Club, you could get an annual movie pass for $60. Like, that's like four movies.
Like, I never understand some of these Silicon Valley people. Like, how did you think that was going to... Like, there's just
I think they just thought they would have been bought out.
I think they thought that these studios to, like, be, like, so dependent on them that they would get... They would be able to get all these sweetheart deals. And the movie... Like, the theaters, their margins are so fucking razor thin that they just aren't able to, like... Even though, like, they could go, yeah, you guys are bringing in a lot of to the seats... But that's all.
Well, the movie theater thing, though, concessions, right?
Yeah, they make all their money off concessions, so it's like,
yeah. So like,
well, what MoviePass was supposed to do is they were supposed to be able to go, look, we're able to bring like 10% more people to the theater to pay for your concessions, obviously. Yeah. So you need to cut us some sweetheart deals and then that was their goal was to like muscle in on the ticketing and then get these sweetheart deals at the theaters. But the theaters are like, yeah, I mean, we're happy you're bringing more people here, but we literally can't afford to give you it.
Yeah.
Because owning a movie theater is secretly the shittiest business in America.
That's the best thing about movies. That's why they're so great. Because no one's really making money on them.
Sure. Like, no one involved in this industry.
Like, no one involved in this industry who's not like on screen is making. But Dan, I did see Mission Impossible. Great film. I fell asleep for 5 minutes, still loved it.
Well, that's the sign. That's the sign of a great movie.
I was pretty tired, though, so I gave it an 83 out of 100.
That's a hell of a film.
Probably one of the best action movies of the year. There haven't been many, so, unless you count the comic book movies.
You don't count those as action films? What do you count
as? No, they're intellectual thrillers. No, they're just superhero movies. They're just different. Like, to me, an action movie, no more, I don't know, like, realistic-y. That makes sense?
I think that I consider them action movies that I can watch, because most action movies more or less have become, like, have basically over time evolved into like right-wing power fantasies about one white dude killing all the bad guys.
Well, the bad guys in this Mission Impossible were anarchists, who were anti-religious, so not the worst people.
I mean,
and have you ever seen a Mission Impossible? Have you seen one of these before?
I saw the first one, and that is it.
Well, get this: the Tom Cruise gets betrayed by his country. I think it happens in every movie.
At some point, that guy should start to figure out. Like, they should just have, like, Oliver Stone walk on and be like, listen.
Also, it features a lot of Tom Cruise running, which, like, he's, like, what, like, 60 or something ridiculous now?
He is definitely older than my dad, which is pretty old. That's how, I feel like that's how most people measure, this person younger or older than my dad? Ooh, he's older than my dad. He's pretty fucking old.
Well, he could still run. So I will give Tom Cruise credit for his excellent running form.
So he doesn't, like, run like Forrest Gump?
I think it's about it. Oh, just one last thing before we got out of here. The LeBron James school story. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, like not because it's just like he built a school, because like a lot of people built schools. This school like kind of goes the extra mile. You know, job placement programs for out-of-work parents, or the food bank, the tuition to Akron University paid for. Pretty cool, and I think like this kind of school needs to kind of be the standard.
Did you see where D-Ray, the fucking asshole fake activist liberal on Twitter, lost his mind about the fact that it wasn't a charter school?
Which is awesome.
Hey, you made D-Ray cry because you didn't do a charter school, LeBron, so thanks.
Makes LeBron even cool. And it shouldn't have been a fucking charter. Like, a public school and a bad, like, that was the beautiful thing about this school. There was, like, no groupthink bullshit process into it. It was just, like, LeBron rode a bike when he was a kid, so every kid gets it's very simple. Kind of like it's, that sometimes.
Yeah, you mean it wasn't outsourced to a bunch of ghouls who are trying to figure out a way to make money off of it?
Yeah. Or, like, have no compassion. It's all, like, horrible academics.
Or like, a bunch of people who think the fact that, oh, yeah, I know what it's work hard, because they had to study real hard for a test once.
Well, what's his issue with the charter? Like, the charter school thing seems stupid as shit to me, because then, like, a bunch of rich kids end up getting to go anyway.
Well, it just, like, funnels, like, public money into private hands.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's just all based on, it's, like, well, it's basically, like, modern democratic politics stilled perfectly, where it's, like, well, yeah, the Republicans are right that publicly funded things are inherently terrible, but we make sure that the people running it are good people.
Well,
we want to make sure that the security guards at Auschwitz are nice guards.
Yeah. More, and are from female prison guards. But, like, because my other issue, too, is, like, when you get mad about, like, why are these public... Because you fucking tied it to property taxes, and guess who's not going to have the best property taxes?
Yeah.
Poor area. Like, fuck, how hard is this to comprehend?
Yeah, and it's also... This is the other thing about public... Like, they always go, oh, the public's underperformed compared to this school or that school model. It's like, yeah, because the public schools have to take all the kids.
Yeah.
Like, the charter school gets to handpick the kids... Who, parents really give a shit about them.
Yeah.
Like, that's 90% of who gets good grades.
Who can afford to give a shit about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, some of it is afford, and some of it is just like, you have a mom who comes home every night, and did you do your homework? There's a lot of kids who don't have that. They don't even have that. And that's not a lot, but there's a lot of kids who don't even get that much.
And
they don't
and
have
and
anybody
school,
who gives a shit about them get home at
and
night.
And this school goes the extra mile to, like, fix the community. Just something charter schools don't.
No, they're like these walled off little, like, cloistered areas away from
It's like when they built, like, a Whole Foods in a bad area and a bunch of people, like, clapped there.
But, you know, of course, a private school full of people who are willing to spend, you know, $20,000 a year for their kid to get an education is going to have parents who are, like, if you're spending $20,000 a year, you're probably also going to have your kid do their homework.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a kid who doesn't sit, you know, a month.
Yeah.
Because they're in the basement, you know, doing meth and they've locked themselves away, which
that
is a reality in a public. You've got to, like, those are the kids you have to take too. And they're not going to perform well. Like, they have horrible livings.
And one last thought before we're going to get out of here. I saw the LeBron interview with CNN, kind of looking presidential. Just going to say, you're going to get LeBron James in like 2030 for president?
I hope so.
Seems like a good dude. I don't know.
I just like that he called Trump a bum. Like, not an asshole. Not a shithead. I mean,
well, that's like LeBron.
He called him a bum.
Kind of can be the left.
He's the
Trump.
LeBron is like the oldest man, like less than 40. Like he's, I mean, he's got an old man haircut. He calls people bums.
He probably wears Crocs, you know, like, but he can.
When he gets home, he definitely wears singlet socks.
So you know what? So that's why LeBron's my new goat. Because like, you see Jordan building a school? No.
No.
So fuck the haters, Bronny. Fuck them.
Alrighty, man.
There you go. So let's get out of here, though.
Yep. So, any fuck yous of the week?
Fuck you of the week.
D-Ray.
To LeBron's haters. Fuck
you. Fuck you to the week to at D. And on that note, any other fuck you?
No, just weekly fuck the Queen and the new fuck you. Fuck Ole Miss.
Fuck Ole Miss?
Fuck
the Queen?
I fucking hate I thought about this dance since last week. I think Ole Miss is my most...
Ooh.
It's just they don't piss me off as much because they never beat off. Like, when they do, it'll ruin my whole, like... Like, if Ole Miss has any sort of sustained success, like, I probably will.
So, in order, let's try to prevent that from happening, everybody. Let's always remember to fuck the Queen, fuck Australia, fuck Ole Miss, and play the music, Jake.